Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. All together, please. Om ajnana timarandasya ganandana salakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam didati swapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yukta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dhina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gubika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapcha Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabharna Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Upatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Paditanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishad, as it is, translation and commentary is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Text number 15, right, of chapter 7. So Parvati Maharani asked me to talk on, she said that the purport is very long and that I should deal particularly she wants me to talk about the number 3. Oh yes, oh, she told me on the phone it was the Asura. I thought she chose that specially in relationship to me. But now she wants me. Did you do that yesterday?
Yes, we did that. Yesterday we did Naradhama, lowest among men.
Well, I would have qualified for that. Okay, Maya Aprita Gyan. Yes, okay. So, oh, it is a long purport, isn't it? So you've been chanting it for days?
Yes, since 3 days last day.
So, Maya Pritagana Shun. Okay then, so we'll just go quickly through the Sanskrit then, line by line. Namam duskriti namudha, prapadyante naradama, maya apritagana, asuram bhavamastritaha. Namam duskriti namudha prapadyante naradama maya apritagyana asuram bhavamastritaha. Okay, go ahead. Jan? Namam duskriti namudha Namam duskriti namudha prapadyante naradama maya aparita jnana asritaha.
Maya
Vrindavamasritaha. Prapadyante Naradama. Asuram Bhavamastritaha. Okay, word for it. Please repeat. Na. Not. Mam. Unto me. Duskriti naha. Miscreants. Mudaha. Foolish. Prapadyante. Surrender. Nara adhama. Oh, sorry. Nara adhamaha. Lowest among mankind, Mayaya, by the illusory energy, Aprita, stolen, Janaha, whose knowledge, Asuram, demonic, Bhavam, nature, Astritaha, accepting. So, those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Please repeat. Those miscreants, who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. So, purport Srila Prabhupada. So, Parvati asked me to just read number 3. That's on page 342.
There are a great number of maya from
there. Is it? No, she said for number 3. Anyway, I'll read number 3 and 4 if you like. Yeah, we'll finish it off today. The next class of Duskriti is Maya Aprita Gyan, or those persons whose erudite knowledge has been nullified by the influence of the illusory material energy. They are mostly very learned fellows, great philosophers, poets, literati, scientists, etc. But the illusory energy misguides them, and therefore they disobey the Supreme Lord. There are a great number of Maya Aprita Jnanaha at the present moment, even amongst the scholars of the Bhagavad Gita. In the Gita, in plain and simple language, it is stated that Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is none equal or greater than Him. He is mentioned as the father of Brahma, the original father of all human beings. In fact, Sri Krishna is said to be not only the father of Brahma, but also the father of all species of life. He is the root of the impersonal Brahman and Paramatma, the supersoul in every living entity, is his plenary portion. He is the fountainhead of everything, and everyone is advised to surrender unto his lotus feet. Despite all clear statements, the Maya Aprita Jnana deride the personality of the Supreme Lord and consider him merely another human being. They do not know that the blessed form of human life is designed after the eternal and transcendental feature of the Supreme Lord. All the unauthorized interpretations of the Gita by the class of Maya Aprita Jnana outside the purview of the Parampara system are so many stumbling blocks on the path of spiritual understanding. The deluded interpreters do not surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, nor do they teach others to follow this principle. Number 4. The last class of Duskriti is Asuram Bhavam Astritaha, or those of demoniac principles. This class is openly atheistic. Some of them argue that the Supreme Lord can never descend upon this material world, but they are unable to give any tangible reasons as to why not. There are others who make him subordinate to the impersonal feature, although the opposite is declared in the Gita. Envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the atheist will present a number of illicit incarnations
manufactured in the factory of his brain. Such persons, whose very principle of life is to decry the personality of Godhead, cannot surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Sri Jamuna Acharya Alabandharu of South India said, O my Lord, you are unknowable to persons involved with atheistic principles. Despite your uncommon qualities, features and activities, despite your personality being confirmed by all revealed scriptures in the quality of goodness, and despite your being acknowledged by the famous authorities renowned for their depth of knowledge in the transcendental science and situated in the godly qualities. Therefore, 1. Grossly foolish persons, the lowest of mankind, the deluded speculators, and the professed atheists, as above mentioned, never surrender unto the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, in spite of all scriptural and authoritative advice. Can you close that window, please? There's a lot of murmur coming. Thank you very much. So, yes. So these are the four kinds, classifications of people that don't like to surrender. This chapter, the first of the six chapters, is the introduction to bhakti. So the first thing in bhakti is to establish the sadhya, the goal, prema prayojan. Prayojan is the necessity, prema is the connection between us and the sadhya, Krishna. So Krishna is establishing himself here directly. I am the Supreme Lord, and this is how you can see me. I am the source of the material and spiritual energy. But those that are deluded by the material energy, they don't surrender unto me. Yes. That is basically the introduction. And as Prabhupada says there in the chapter purport, O conqueror of wealth, there's no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung upon a thread. Sutri Mani Guna Iva, very famous verse. So everything is resting on Krishna. Everything has its origin in Krishna. And at the time of dissolution, it will re-enter Mahavishnu, the material energy. But the spiritual energy is ever manifest. But those that are in the material energy, they remain there as long as they're classified in one of these groups. The human beings, they are meant to become one of the four that follows this chapter, this verse. The Athati, the one that wants wealth, the person that's in distress, the curious person, and the person of knowledge. So two material reasons, you could say, or gross reasons. You want money, so you go to God. You believe there's a big something in the sky that can help me. You may not have much of a definition of God, but you know he's the big guy, and he'll help me financially. And he'll help me also if I'm sick. Just like I was coughing before the class. So I said, Krishna, if I'm to give class, you've got to stop me coughing. It's helping. It's working a little bit. After the class, okay. Or even during the class a little bit. But so they're the two people. They're materially motivated, but that's understandable because they're materially conditioned, right? And then the curious person, you can say that's the beginning of knowledge. The curious person is curious. All this talk about God and yoga and this and that, let me check it all out. Right? I think we've all gone through that period. Mm-hmm. Where we read this and that and so on and so forth. It's called manomoy in terms of consciousness. So your mental platform and you're seeing this. But then the person in knowledge, what is the specific characteristic of him? He is Vijnanamoy. He's beginning to distinguish between matter and spirit. He's realizing that beyond this material energy, the spiritual energy, he's getting that by the grace of the Shastra, particularly the Vedas. The other Upadharmas, they don't have much information. They think people are up there playing flutes and lutes or something. But in Krishna, Gita, Bhagavatam, we get a vision of the spiritual world. So the person in knowledge, he knows that spiritual nature, at least theoretically, and he's attracted. So he begins to realize, because we are spiritual, so whenever we focus upon spirit, we realize spirit directly. So he's a person of knowledge. He can distinguish between matter and spirit. So he will come eventually to Anandamoy. That means the platform of blissful consciousness. Because as he distinguishes from matter from spirit, and his consciousness is seeing that distinction, then he will naturally go to the spiritual side, because it's more attractive. He will see that this material world, he will see the naked face of this material energy. Birth, death, old age, disease, everything is temporary, it's a place of illusion. But he'll see the spiritual world. Ah, that is reality, that is permanent. That is beyond material time and space. That is the eternal abode. Ah, and he'll study Shastra, he'll associate with devotees, he'll become a man of knowledge. So Krishna praises that person. So the opposite is the person of ignorance. All these four people that don't surrender, well, at the root, what is the root? The root is, Nope. That's a result. The root is that instead of being a servitor, which the man of knowledge gradually realizes, Jivera Svarupo Nichera Krishna Das, I'm my soul, the character of it is, the constitutional nature, is to serve the Supreme. Instead of realizing that, the materialist wants to be the predominator rather than the servitor. He looks at the material energy and he wants to predominate. And he wants to claim ownership over it. And then after ownership, he wants to enjoy it. Right? So instead of using the material energy, uniting it with the Supreme Lord, Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya Uchite, instead of doing that, he wants to exploit it, he wants to predominate. So that's the fundamental problem. In the Upanishad, Isha Upanishad, Isha Vasha Idam Sarvam Yat Kinchat Jagadam Jagat, that everything is controlled and owned by the Supreme Lord. But the predominator, the soul that rejects the superiority of the creator and the manifestator of all this energy, he wants to be that predominator. He rebels against the authority, the supremacy of the Lord. So he enters into the material energy. And there, you know, just like a child, he's in the car, the motor car of his father. Oh, I want to drive the car, Daddy. So I don't know if they have them in India, but they used to have when I was a kid. I never had one. But you get a plastic wheel. Have you seen those? Do they still have them? On eBay, maybe. Anyway, and the kid drives the car. It's really Daddy driving it. So he thinks, I'm driving the car, beep, beep, stop. Anyway, so they're all in illusion. The position of the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, the control, the ownership of the Supreme Lord is ever existing, just like the father driving the wheel. But they're subject to the illusion that they are the controller, the owner, the exploiter, the enjoyer. And it all comes from this root, the rejection of this position of subordinate to the Supreme Father. So, then they enter into the material energy and they become classified in those four ways. And they become duskritina. Just like a duskritina is the four, right? These four classes. So they mean, that means like a miscreant, mischievous person. So if everything belongs to the Supreme Lord, and everything is controlled by the Supreme Lord, then you should find out what He wants. You should subordinate yourself to His will, cooperate. Hello. If you want to, you should go outside if you want to do that. So, however, if we don't, if we try to be the predominator, then we become mischievous. We become rebellious, just like if somebody rebels against the state, they become a thief, or they put black money under the bed, made out of 500 and 1,000 notes. And they're doing everything in the black. Then they're miscreants, right? In the terms of the government, of course. But so as soon as we don't cooperate with the superior authority and we claim ownership, then we're miscreant, right? Just like if I steal your shoes, right? I'll never enjoy them. I'll always think, oh, well, if I have a conscience, if I'm a psychopath, it's different. Psychopath, they have no conscience. They've been stealing shoes for many lifetimes. So Krishna turns off the conscience. Anyway, so I will always think, oh, these shoes are nice, but I stole them from my friend. But then when I give them back, I'll feel relief. I might find out your door, I leave them outside. And you wake up in the morning and think, oh, Krishna's returned my shoes. But it was only me. So when we give a donation to Krishna or something like that, or we give our lives to Krishna, it's the relief of a thief. I feel relief. I'm no longer wearing his shoes. So I feel better. Right? So when we give our life or our money or whatever extent, we serve Krishna, we feel relief of anxiety. Because if we're claiming what belongs to Krishna, then this is miscreant behavior. So there's four kinds of miscreant behavior, and that is the mudha. So mudha means ass. Now it's interesting to note at this point, Prabhupada one tape, he was challenged. Why are you always calling people fools and rascals? Fool. You know, mudha, donkey brain, benska buddhi. So why are you doing that? So I'm not doing that. Krishna's saying that. And you quote this verse. Namam duskritina mudha. Krishna is saying fool and rascal. Why are they fool? Because they're not cooperating with the Supreme Lord who has their best interest at heart. Right? If you have a great powerful friend, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, and you don't take his assistance, especially when you're in a material body and you're prone to all these problems, adidevik, adibhautik, adihatmik, misery, all these things, and you don't take help from your, then you're foolish. You're a fool. All right? If you continue with being a thief, then I was just reading the other day about the Kinnaras, the Gandharvas, the Vijadharas. They have a particular perchant. They're the number of Upadevas. There's 10 Upadevas, the Siddhas, Kinnaras, Kimparusha, Apsaras, Gandharvas, Vijadharis, Yakshas. They are observers of human affairs, particularly in Ilavati Vash and Bhumandala. They like to observe. And they like to observe human beings, what they're doing. And so in this Shastra, it was, I think it was Brahma Puran, it was explaining that the Vidyadharis and the Kinnara, they see a good person and they help that person. Sometimes we have in human society the idea of guardian angel or something happened. So they intervene. But if they see a bad person or a thief or a bad person or some crude fellow, they make trouble for him. Just in the same way that we may feed a monkey or a pig or somebody in distress, we just help. So they are observing from the subtle platform the activities, and they help. So that is just because they're upadevas, they have certain powers, and they can intervene, just like we intervene in other people's affairs. So grossly foolish people, they pursue miscreant activities. Now, but mudha particularly means ass, and Prabhupada talks about the ass. The ass is a beast of burden, and he's carrying the washerman clothes. They don't do it by the Jamuna, they used to in the old days. Now, if they wash them in the Jamuna, they become more dirty. But he's carrying the washerman's clothes, and he does that because in the evening the washerman gives him a bit of grass. But he's walking all day by grass, he didn't have to carry the burden, just a donkey. So this is the position of the Muda. His survival technique in this material energy, he wakes up, goes to school, and then I've got to survive somehow, is to work like an ass, right? He has no faith in God, he rejects, or it's just too complicated for him. You know, he's been misguided, so he likes to work hard, right? There's not many of those in India, is there? No, actually, people in India work very hard, but they have a sense of God. This is the place of Dharma. They believe. They believe in the big something, right? So then the next one is the Naradama, lowest of mankind. So sometimes people have difficulty with distinguishing that. But in Baladeva Vidyabhushan's commentary on this sloka, he explains what a Naradama, Nara means human, low. He is a person that has some knowledge of spirituality. But instead of harmonizing with the Supreme Lord, he rejects all that. So he rejects like Vedic prescriptions, Varnashram, duty to human beings. He knows that that's there. He may be born in a corrupted Brahmin family or something. Oh yes, that's there and that. But I'm not going to bother with that. I'm going to get a job in the factory. I'm going to be a boss. So he becomes a mudha, even though he has some spiritual knowledge. So then we come to asura bhavam asrita. So asura. So in the material energy, there's basically, you'll see this in the seventh canto, that there's basically two types, the asura and the rakshasa. The asura is under the mode of passion, and the rakshasa in the mode of ignorance. So the asura, asura means not very pleasure. They don't get much pleasure. Ra, it means pleasure, root. So they never get really much pleasure, but they want to enjoy the material energy. Wine, women and song, La Dolce Vita, beautiful paintings, nice decoration, good motor car. They want to enjoy. But the Rakshasa, he wants to dominate. So generally the Asura, he's a novice Rakshasa, because he doesn't enjoy sensuality. It never really satisfies him. There is a certain pleasure, but it doesn't get to the soul because it's material. So he's unsatisfied, frustrated. So then he turns to being domination, tamagun, and he becomes rakshasa. They were born from Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma, when they were born, they started to attack him. And he called out, Rakshami, Rakshami, to the Supreme Lord. So that's how they got the name. Rakshami means protect me. So the wanted protection from the Rakshasa. So the Rakshasa wants to dominate, and therefore he wants to be the big leader, the Antichrist, the tyrant, the dominator. And he gets into all sorts of sadomasochism and cruelty. And his pleasure is in dominating. He's not enjoying by just sensuality in the mode of passion, but he's enjoying in the mode of ignorance cruelly and trying to become. So the person in the mode of goodness, he is trying to harmonize with material nature. And he has some maybe Brahman-type conception. It's all spirit. We should love one another. I am you, and you are me, and we are all together. So that's better than being a Rakshasa. But it's also illusory. So the Asura, it's very interesting how Krishna says it. Asura bhavam. That means mood. The mood. So it's like the mood. And Prabhupada says that, he brings it out in the purport. He has demoniac mentality. Oh, forget about God. There is no God. We can just enjoy all that religion stuff. Oh my God, save me from religion. Let me enjoy. Like this, he has this confused philosophy. Oh, religion stops all the source of all the trouble in the world. Right? Of course it is. If it's bad and false, and if you have good religion, then follow it. And then you'll find a different prescription. So, but anyway, his bhava, his mood is like that. He's rejecting God because it interferes with his sense enjoyment. That's his mood, you see. Because, you know, these man-made religions, they tell you, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and you can't do this, and you can't. They're all negative, right? You know, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. Then what can I do? I can reject it and enjoy. So, that's the trouble. If the religion is just negative, people understand restriction in this material world because we're naturally restricted by our body. So religion, man-made religion, tends to put us in more restriction. But it doesn't give us a positive. So the Asura rejects all that. So then today, or yesterday, or whatever day, Maya Apritagam. Oh yes, Asrita, Bhavam Asrita. That's what Krishna uses. He takes shelter of that, you see. But like I said before, the mudha or the naradama, we wake up and mommy and daddy are not there anymore. We're 20, 25, we've got to make our way in the world. So we've got to figure out a survival strategy. So the mudha thinks I'll work hard. The naradama also works hard, but he rejects religion. The asura, asrita, they're all taking shelter of a certain idea, philosophy. You understand? Their consciousness. Because we all need shelter. So those shelters, that philosophy of sensuality, that is his shelter. Oh, look at these religious people. They're not enjoying. I'm enjoying. So he feels good about himself. So then, maya aprita jnana. Oh, sorry, that was number four. Maya Prita Gyan. Poverty got me confused. So, so Maya Prita Gyan is one whose knowledge is stolen by illusion. So you all experienced devotees. And as Prabhupada said there in the purport, very interesting the way Prabhupada says it, they're all generally learned fellows. Do you remember that? Learned fellows. Yes, they sit in a leather armchair, sip brandy, smoke a pipe with their academic friends and think, what do you think of the Vedas? Were they created 500 years ago? Or as the books themselves say, they're eternal. What do you say, Charlie? Well, I don't really know. I'll go with you, Archibald. So I've worked in the academic field. They're all very puffed up about themselves. And they don't rock the boat, you see. They go with the flow. They go with the flow. If it's atheism, they go there. Because if you become theist, then you lose your job. You don't get tenure. You see, you have to, that's how it all works. And you have to publish or perish. And what does it mean? They just read some other books and take from other books and then make their own book. And then 50 years later, somebody takes something from that book and their book and makes their book. So it's like feeding on itself or something. Snake swallowing its own tail. So they never come up with anything, they might interpret it differently. But they don't come to any conclusion. Because they are taking shelter of what? Mental speculation. Right? There's two systems of knowledge, avaroha and aroha. One is descending and one is ascending. So descending knowledge means you listen to authorities. Shastra, guru, sadhu. And you qualify yourself by performing some sadhana, purify your consciousness, and you listen. And then that knowledge takes root in you. And you realize Krishna. But the ascending process is two parts. Pratyaksha means they use the mind and the senses. They study these other books of speculation. And then anumanta. Anumanta means following the mind, anuman. It means mental speculation. Just like at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it says manuratena. Right? The people in the material world, they're carried on the chariot of the mind. Arjuna is carried on the chariot of Krishna. That's the devotee. But the mental speculators, they're carried by the mind. I think this, I think that. He thinks that, but I think that. And it's like a Moonies. Prabhupada explains the Moonies, they are always trying to defeat one another. So I was thinking the other day, last year there was a lot of fuss about atheism. So I went on YouTube and I downloaded some debates of these big atheists arguing against this one and this. So I was thinking, how would I defeat them? And then it occurred to me, very easy, you just wait. Because they defeat themselves. Right? 1 year it's Newtonian physics, then it's string theory, right? Then it's quantum mechanics, right? And it's always a new idea, right? They defeat themselves, you just have to stand back. But they call it progress of knowledge, right? But it's actually progress from one foolish idea to the next. It's just like somebody in the forest, dark forest, he's walking around and bangs his head against a tree and he gets a flash of light. Think, oh, I've understood something. There's atoms and molecules. No, and then he walks, bang, oh no, oh, they're in lines. It must be string theory or something like this. So now that to convince themselves, they call it progress of knowledge because they think they're working to some theoretical idea of understanding everything through mathematics, right? Because science means mathematics. So that means they believe that mathematics is God, because that will explain everything, right? Whether it's physics, chemistry, biology, whatever, the central point is the equation. That means mathematics is the presumption that through mathematics you can describe reality. So I've given the example before. Just like I went to the bank today and they wouldn't give me any money. Never mind. But if you knew my bank account, very sad affair, and you saw how much money was coming in and out, then you might say, oh, I know his life. Because I know on that day he bought a ticket to here. And look, he's spending this much money So therefore he's spending so much a day in the MBT restaurant. Therefore, I understand everything about him. Is that a good, valid interpretation? It's mathematical. No, it doesn't explain my emotions, my desire, why I'm doing things, what my plan is. It's a subset. You know mathematical theory? Subset. It's a subset of reality. Yes, in the material world, there are regularities. You know, two hydrogen atoms will combine with one oxygen atom to make... I see, all very intelligent people. So, there are regularities, but we know from the Vedas that the lawmaker is beyond the regularities. He's not controlled by them, he's the origin of them. Like Krishna is the source of logic, you can say, but he's beyond logic, right? He's not bound by his creation. Just like if I paint a painting, I'm controlling the painting, it's not controlling me. So Krishna, in this chapter, I'm the source of material nature, I'm the spiritual. But, Abhigya Swarup, in the first verse of the Bhagavatam, he's independent. So he, logic, time, energy, they're his playthings. He can transcend it, like we have in Bhagavatam, and the night of the Rasleela, you know, and there'll be Purnim. Krishna extended that to one day of Brahma, which is 1,000 times a Mahayuga. So that's about 4,332,000,000 years. So he in one night. He's not bound by us. We're in the restricted environment. We're under control. Yes, regularities, they have an impinging effect. But we're not bound, and even his devotees, right? If you surrender to Krishna, Ma Suchaha, I'll protect you. All your karmic effects, I'll lessen them and I'll take you back to Godhead. Just like we're seeing in Chitraketu, the story of Chitraketu, right? If you look at it in one level, it's okay. But if you look from the point of view of Krishna, Krishna's arranging everything. He's deciding, he's sending Angira, so he gets the sun. Then he's sending Narada Muni, so he chants the mantra. Then he's the king of the Vidyadharas. Then now look, because Krishna, when you surrender to Krishna, Krishna tomorrow, huh, I'm yours, then Krishna has the right to intervene. So even though you're materially energy and you're bound by the reactions of the material energy, Krishna assuages that. So this is a very important point, that the Maya Aprita Gyan, they think, and even logic, if you read logic books, they even get into formulas. You know that. They have their own kind of mathematics. And Nimai Pandit, he was a master of logic. But it is a subsidiary set of reality. It doesn't encompass everything. Because the Supreme Lord, he is full of potencies. And all contradictions rest within him. One of the basic ones given for understanding Shastra is that Krishna, this is pertinent for now Damodar Leela, Krishna is Mukta and he's also Savagya. Savagya means he knows everything. He's Vishnu. He knows every atom and molecule, every spirit soul, he knows every part of the creation all at one time. He knows the spiritual world, everything. But Mukta. Mukta means he's also entranced in his Leela. So when Krishna, Mukta means that M-U-G-D-H-A. When Krishna is being chased by Mother Yashoda, you might say, oh, he knows that Mother Yashoda is not angry really, or this and that. So why is he acting like that? He's Savagyan. Then you can't enter into the Leela, can you? Just like the little boy, this is a material example, if he thinks daddy's really driving the car, he can't enjoy. In his own, this is gross material, but he thinks, yeah, I stopped nicely there. better slow down, the police are there. Oh, it's okay, never mind, I've got 50 rupees. So Krishna, when he is Varaha, he's really Varaha. You know, he's not Savagya. When he's fighting Hiranyaksha and he's lifting out the Bhumandala, fallen down, he's really engaged in that leela. He's really entranced. Like when he's chastised by Lalita Shakhi. Oh, go back to Nanda Maharaj and learn some manners. Don't talk to my friend Radharani anymore. Then he's really fearful. He's not thinking, oh, it'll be all right tomorrow. I'm Savagyan. No, he's really... So this is a contradiction, is it not? Huh? How you can know everything and be worried about the future? But Krishna, this is all apparent contradiction. This is all part of Krishna's inconceivable nature. So the purpose of human life is not to speculate about reality, but go to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra and become enlightened. And then to contemplate the messages of Godhead and realize the absolute truth. And this is very important, to understand Krishna Leela, because we want to understand Leela, because that's the spiritual world. Leela actually is the source of philosophy. But if we understand Krishna Leela, this is the beginning of how to understand it. That when Krishna is Matsya, he's really absorbed in being Matsya and saving the Vedas. When he's Narahari, he's really furious with the other fellow. Yes. He's really angry with Ravana for taking his wife. So, this is the wonderful nature of Krishna. He's the source of everything, material and spiritual energy, it says there earlier. But Krishna said, but me no one knows. But the devotee knows him, bit by bit. Because the eternal occupation is to realize Krishna. He even says, me no one knows and I don't even know myself. He says like that, right? So, the Maya Aprita Gyan, when you think in that way of Krishna and the spiritual world and how wonderful it is, and then you think of these Maya Aprita Gyan giving themselves titles, you're a PhD. What does that mean? Plough department. Plough department, get in the field and learn something. So, PhD, this and that, so many letters, but they don't know anything. Because it's stolen, as Prabhupada said, by illusion. You see, in the spiritual world, everyone is in a situation of knowledge, like the person of knowledge. Krishna explains, I consider him non-different from myself, because the Maya Shakti is not infesting his consciousness. So he's in a continual state of realization of Krishna. He's in sat, eternality. But the Maya Prita Gyan, because of his mental speculation and the limited impulse from his senses, he's always in illusion. So even if he's looking with it, trying to find the truth, he can't understand it. Because it's beyond his mind and senses. He's just interpreting a speckle of information. And so, you know, they say ridiculous things. Like 6 billion light years away, there's a planet that's just like Earth. Oh, look, there's New Delhi there also. And it's got a big traffic jam. Right, they say that, right, isn't it? But because other donkeys... they listen to the big donkey. You see? They're also Maya Aprita Gyan. You see, you can divide it four ways, but everyone has got a mixture of them. So they're all in illusion. That's the material world. So there's two types, actually. There may be one that's a little sincere about trying to discover the truth, But then the Asura, he's got an agenda. Whatever he discovers, he refuses to use it as proof positive for an absolute truth. You see. So that's the Asuric mood, and that's there in the Maya Pritagyan. If somebody is actually sincere, there's a in the Jiva Dharma in the later chapters, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he talks about this point. He says that if somebody is actually inquiring sincerely, then eventually he quote, I can't remember the Sanskrit, something satyam vijayate. It, repeated inquiry by the mercy of the Supreme Lord gives knowledge. So somebody may be a scientist and he may be anything, but if he's sincere, then Krishna will give him enlightenment. But the Asura, Bhava Mashri, he doesn't want to recognize that. So in Kali Yuga, they have people that are determined against the Supreme Lord, atheists. They're against the idea of God. So those people, they are bound for dark regions. They're bound for the lower planets, Atala, Sutala, Vitala, Mahatala, Rasatala, Patala, like that, down there. In the lower planetary systems, there's no talk about God. It's in a dark and there's different realms. So, that's their destination. But the deva, the person mode of goodness who's studying Shastra, trying to purify himself, come to transcendence, he can go to the eternal realm. So in Kali Yuga, these people are predominant, particularly. So how do you give them some benefit? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Right. As it says in the Bible actually, hate the sin, not the sinner. Right, it's there in the Uddhava Gita. It says if you worship Krishna and the spirit soul, the expansion within all living entities, Krishna says that this is the best method of worship. That if you're just worshipping Krishna, but you don't have compassion or respect even for his expansions, that worship of Krishna is null and void. If you worship Krishna through the living entities and you respect them and you serve the living entity, then Krishna is very pleased. Love me, love my dog, love my child. So Krishna, if we want to actually be a devotee, get off Kanishtadi platform, then we have to see everyone as spirit soul. That's the beginning of enlightenment. Without envy, without trying to be a predominator, but as a servitor, you see. In the spiritual world, everyone is spontaneous servant. In the material world, everyone is trying to be the big dog. And that's what they end up. So, it's good to understand this and understand the naked face of the material world. Everybody in the material world is in illusion. Whatever they say is just a load of nonsense. Only a person of knowledge is a person who is in Krishna consciousness. He's realizing the actual situation. How to strengthen that? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. And chanting, especially in this age. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and Sadhu Sangha, Sava Shastra Hoy, Sadhu. So any questions? Yes, go ahead. Conscience. Well, in one purport, it's in the fourth canto, it's a very striking thing I remember. Prabhupada explains that conscience is the form of direction of the super soul. For example, I want to steal your shoes. I don't really, but I think, oh, they're nice. So I'm making a plan. But then in the heart, super soul is saying, don't do that, right? Or do it at night. If I insist. So we have conscience, right? Just like all these secret societies, you know, they're all secret societies. Why? Because they're worshipping different entities and they're doing disgraceful things, right? So we want to do things, bad things are done in darkness, surreptitiously. But Krishna is seeing everything. In the Chandogya Upanishad, it explains that the body is like a tree. And there's two birds. One bird is trying to enjoy the fruit of the tree. He isn't trying to enjoy this body. But the other bird is observing and saying, I'm waiting. Why is he take my advice? You see? So when we want to do something harmful to others or even ourselves, Krishna, super soul, tries to stop that. But then, like if you study psychopaths, I wouldn't get into it too much, but generally they started off as cruel to animals or liars, you know, liars. And then they can progress to becoming serial killers. So the super soul turns off, you understand? He stops advising, don't do that, don't do that. He may still do it to some extent, but he's avoiding conscience and that super soul trying to guide the living entity. So the psychopath is a person that is just doesn't care about any morality or any direction from within his heart. Right? Has no guilt. He can lie from morning till night. A normal person, if he tells a lie, he'll feel, oh, I shouldn't have done, you know, right? But the Rakshasa, the demon, he enjoys, right? He enjoys being a liar, tricking people, you see? So that person, Krishna says, one, those that are envious and mischievous, I cast them down into the lowest species of life. So conscience is there. And as we progress, progression in spiritual life means to hear the Supreme Lord within the heart more and more distinctly. Whereas progression in sinful life means the exact opposite. To, you know, hear conscience or super soul less and less. Does that answer the question? Yes.
About the mudras, in Kali Yuga they work very hard, but the whole society is made such a way that students, when they go to university, they teach them that by having the diploma you'll be rich, you'll get a nice job, but finally when they get the diploma, there's unemployment.
And yes.
All of the world now is less work.
Yeah.
And these people, they work so hard, but that's not a real joy.
Yeah, well, nowadays you've got a load of Rakshasas in charge all over the world, exploiting, like I say, dominating and blood-sucking. Rakshasa doesn't mean to say he looks like a reptile. No, he's got a business suit on and he's sitting in an office, extracting tax, spending billions on weapons, you know, nuclear weapons or something. Once I read, like they have a stealth aircraft, America, you know, they can't be picked up by, they cost something like $20 billion or some incredible figure. And anyway, one of those would pay for all the medical bills for all the people in the world, you know, a few of them, you know. So you've got a government making, spending billions and billions. Just like it says in the beginning of 10th Canto, you know, the world was overburdened with the defense forces, of kings that were actually demons. So I don't think it can have been much worse then than it is now. So people sometimes ask, well, Krishna appeared, Lord Brahma went to the milk ocean and said, hey Krishna, things are getting too bad down there on Bhumandala,